This is the April 3rd, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before us, we have two late files to go over. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. Our first late file, which I'll present to the board, is a good cause request from Patrick Files, Russell Olnish, and Chevron Swanson for property ID 252-663-000. They used reason 3A, which states the taxpayer was unable to file the petition by the filing deadline because of a death or serious illness of the taxpayer or member of the taxpayer's immediate family occurring shortly before or during the time of filing. And they stated all three owners are 81 plus years old. All three suffered health issues last year from numerous hospital stays to operations for a pacemaker. Two have had heart watchman implants. And they signed it and dated it March 24th.
Doesn't technically say they were sick during that time period, but I guess I would accept it. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Yeah. Yep, I'm in agreement.
Okay, perfect. Our next late file is then going to be a request for reconvene from the owners Morgan and Christina McCord. These are for two property IDs, 986-029-208 and 910-51286. She used the reconvening code 3, which states, in an arm's length transaction, a bona fide purchaser or contract buyer acquired interest in the property after July 1st, but on or before December 31st of the assessment year, and the sale price was less than 90% of the assessed value. The McCords bought these two property IDs together in a single purchase. The total for both property IDs is $353,000. That was for both property IDs, and she also included a letter stating why these two properties cannot be separated or sold separately. She says, although we technically own two separate tax parcels, it would be impossible to separate them due to the way the property is set up. Our property is on a dead-end road. The road ends where our driveway begins. The driveway and house are on one side of the creek, and the parking area, garage, and other buildings are on the opposite side of the creek. The property is connected by two separate points, a driving bridge and a footbridge that connects from the porch of the house to the side entrance door of the garage. And I can pull up the map if needed, but it did look like when I confirmed this, the driveway goes through one of the property IDs and there's bridges and a creek, and it does look like they are close together.
Go ahead.
I'm going to pull up the two assessment prices for you. We had the first one is assessed at $203,938. And then this, if you are okay with me doing them together, I can show you what the math looks like. We have 203, sorry, I should have prepped this ahead of time, 203,938 for one of them, and then the other one is priced, or assessed at, pull it up, I did do the math. Initially, the other one is assessed for $339,499.
Well, it's clearly less than 90%. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's around 60, but I will confirm with you in just a moment. For the record, all right. So the full percentage we're looking at is 353,000 divided by 65%. So the two property IDs, if you use them that way, they're sold for 353. And the percentage of the assessment is 65% if you're looking at both assessments, which it's up to you if that's how you want to do it.
Yep.
I think so.
The way to do it.
Perfect. Well, that concludes our late files for today. This is the April 3rd, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 275 for property ID 110186960. The property is owned by Karen Stanley. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Robin Finotti present for the assessor's office and Karen Stanley present for the appellant. If you could both please raise your right hands now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to ask one question. Are you aware that they have sent a letter that agreed to reduce the value to $1,968,213?
I have not received that. And that was for the year 2024 or 2023?
For year 2024.
I've not received that.
I'll pull it up. Well, I'll pull that up. Just one moment.
Allison, is it possible you could email it to me?
Yes, just one moment. Let me pull it up for us to review.
You're awesome. And by the way, I assume Robin is representing the tax assessor's office?
Yes,
I am.
Yeah.
Blow it up just a little bit.
I can't read that on my screen, but I'll take the word for it.
Is that the correct representation, Robin?
That is, yes, sir.
So that they've agreed to reduce it to that number. So I just wanted to make sure you're aware of that before you present your information.
You know what? I stand corrected. I do have that. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So I'll turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal then.
Okay. So I'm going to be really brief. This house is a very difficult one to sell. You guys have seen me numerous years. And so I will say, and this was in my cover letter, that last year I finally thought, am I crazy? I went to a professional appraiser. They did an appraisal. They came up with values, and the year 2022 has been stipulated to by the tax assessors as to what I'd asked for. I believe 1.6, and I also have that for 2023, but I believe the pattern is that they wait until the hearing is scheduled at the state at the BTA level, and then I can talk with them about stipulating to 2023. But I have an appraisal for about the same value for 2023, as mentioned in my cover letter. For the year 2024, nothing really changed much. The year after that, I think there may be a change because one property sold pretty well here. But I'm still requesting, even though I had a evaluation for 2022 from a professional appraiser at 1.5 and 1.6 respectively for 2023, I feel from looking at the prompts that I submitted that I've asked for 1.644. I think the basic problem is, as I see it, is when the county pulls comps, they're using homes that are 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 square feet, and a 9,200 square foot home, as I had suspected, you really can't compare those as comps because they're a whole different type of home. I have to sell this home as a much larger home, and also people that buy these larger homes here, very few of them I'm finding unfortunately, really want an accessory dwelling unit of that size. They, unless they've got a specific situation where they want to do intergenerational living, and there are other choices out there, they do not want this home. And so I've got to have somebody that's in the bigger house market and wants intergenerational. I'm repeating myself, so I'll try to stop and quit. So that's my gist. And of course, I'm hoping for prayer for an agreement at this level. If not, I'll just do the same and go to the state and then get a professional appraisal, because that's kind of my only option. I know that my deferred maintenance is just getting ghastly year after year, and I've submitted that, which is a factor as well, because the prices, I've not even gotten new estimates because I don't want to bother the contractors because I can't afford to do it. So I know that I will get those if I go to the state level and submit them, but they're, those estimates are about 3 years old. So that's all for me, unless you have questions.
Questions, Lisa or John, at this point?
I could definitely ask some, but I think I have enough to make a decision. I don't really understand the county's comparable sale at all.
Well, let's wait, let the county. At this point, do you have any questions? Yeah. We'll wait for the county.
No.
John?
I don't think I have any questions on it either. I've looked at all of this and other sales, and I just don't. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, Robin, you want to present the county side?
Robin, you're muted.
Okay, here we go. Let's try that again. I was reading the additional information submitted by the appellant, and the Clark County Assessor's Office is more than willing to work with property owners who have damage to their property. However, we do require the original bid from a licensed contractor. We need to see that bid. We need to have it submitted to us, and then, of course, we can put what we call a cost to cure adjustment on the property, and I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to do that for the sewage line repair, and then, of course, to repair the driveway and the borders of the driveway, as the driveway will need to be torn up to take care of the sewer line. And I'm assuming that since you have because of your statements on your letter. In regards to deferred maintenance items, the assessor's office does not apply a cost to cure for deferred maintenance. Home ownership comes with some responsibilities on maintaining the home, and certain aspects like decks and painting and re-roofing the house is just a normal cost of home ownership. So I will not entertain a thought at this point in time to paint the deck, and that's just considered a deferred maintenance issue. The additional interior items that you spoke about, the assessor does not put a value on sound systems or Insta hot water attachments to your kitchen sink. The fireplace, the igniter switch, again, that's just one of those deferred maintenance things. You know, sometimes things break down and we have to fix or replace them. And now you did say something about your interior paint damage, and I'm more curious to know a little bit more about that. Was that caused by some sort of water damage, a fire? Because I got to be honest with you, when I looked at your 2022 sales listing, I wasn't seeing anything like that. I wasn't seeing any type of damage or any type of deferred maintenance. In regards to I don't know if these were the properties that you have listed, I don't know if these were the properties that the appraiser used, but what you have listed as total square footage is a little disingenuous in that for your property, your above grade living area is 5,983 square feet with a 2,000 square foot basement. your comparables are stating that they have over 6,000 square feet of above grade living area, when in fact they do not. Comparable number one has 2,147 square feet of above grade living area with a 3,956 square foot basement. Comp number two has 2,884 square feet of above grade living area with 2,592 square feet of basement area. And your third comparable is a ranch, and it's 4,573 square feet with a 1,390 square foot unfinished basement. As far as the comparables that we provide, we do the best that we can with unique properties. The subdivision that the property is in is a subdivision of custom-made homes, so they vary greatly between basements and the finish of the basements. And as far as the basement of the subject property, it is considered to be an accessory dwelling unit because it does have a full kitchen, bathrooms. It's got its own garage and access to the unit, and it has been rented. I don't know if it's rented now, but it has been a rental in the past. The adjustment that, the last thing I want to say is that the adjustment that the assessor made was when I was reviewing this appeal, I had not responded to previous appeals. I was looking at the sales information and noted that a swim spa was inadvertently valued as an in-ground swimming pool. I removed that value from the record for the current year and then went back as far back as I could legally go to correct the record. I believe the year, let me look at my listing real quick. I went back as far as, oh heck, now I can't find it. I think it was like 2022. But the final year that I went back, I did not remove it because the value would have been higher than the board's determination of value for that year.
You went back in your notes, you said you went back 2020, 21, 22, and 23. So, but one of them you did say that.
Thank you. I was trying to read that real quickly and find it, and I'm just not a speed reader. So thank you for finding that.
And the 1 year was not corrected because it was would have created a value higher than the board set.
Correct.
Can I ask what item that was? I'm not sure exactly what she's talking about for what wasn't corrected.
It's the third paragraph in her appraiser findings and response on her page.
I don't know if she got that or not. I don't know how you guys send them, but most of the time
she said she has it.
Can you tell me specifically what she's talking about?
I'm talking about the swim spa that is on the lower.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that was inadvertently valued as an in-ground swimming pool.
I'm sorry. I thought you had moved on to a different item right after that. You said something about 2022, you did not remove it. And I guess you were still talking about the swim spa?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Get rid of that. No, that's not a separate item.
So has that already been applied for a refund on that?
The processing has been done by my office. As far as the refund goes, that is a treasurer function. And they keep changing how they do refunds, so I no longer am aware of how they do it. I don't think go ahead.
You have done your part in terms of applying for that reduction in those years so that refund would be automatically prepared by the treasurer's office.
That is correct.
Okay. So you will be getting a refund for those years.
I think I have enough information
to make a
decision.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Okay, do you have anything else, Robin?
That's all I have, unless the board or Ms. Stanley has any questions.
Yeah. Any further questions, Karen? Yeah.
Well, she said a lot of things that stimulated questions, and I liked that she mentioned that they would be willing to work with me. Sometimes I wish if I could just come down and sit and talk with somebody, that would help and might even resolve it at a simpler, easier level.
Maybe Robin, do that if you two exchange information. Robin, maybe you two could actually communicate, and so we wouldn't have to do this every year. What do you think?
God, I'd love it.
We can do that. I indicated in my response that we would be willing to entertain a cost to cure adjustment.
And she has a phone number to get a hold of you? Instead of just Robin,
Could we meet in person, you and I? Is that what you're saying? Or just email?
If you'd like to meet in person, we can.
Robin, what's your phone number? I'm going to write it down, and I'll just follow up and be sure to get it from here.
Yeah, let's talk later, and we can.
Okay, that's fine. Let me finish then, if I might.
Let me go ahead and give you my number real quick, my direct line number, if you will.
Go ahead.
That is 564-397-4620. I am here from 6:30 in the morning to about 2:45 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday.
Okay. So the one thing that I think we differ on that I think is worth mentioning here, there's a number of things we'll just take offline and you and I can discuss, is that when you sell a home, if you have a lot of deferred maintenance, you're going to have to discount that home probably more than what it costs to do the work, because people don't want to buy a new home and take on a project. There's a lot of deterrence there. So that affects, without a doubt, the market value of the home. And I am hurt by that because I can't afford to do these things. I just found out yesterday my gutters need to be replaced. That's $24,000. I don't have it. So it just can't be done. Now, you can call that deferred maintenance, but upon a home inspection, they're going to do that, and they're going to expect that they're going to get that money taken off the price, and probably more, because they're taking on the risk and the work. So that's what I don't understand about the county's approach to that, and I think it's worth considering. And I get it that the sound system is kind of minor in a way, but it's also work that the new buyer has to take on, and I've got speakers throughout the house, but nothing's hooked up and nothing's working, so it does have a negative draw on the price. And I also want to clarify what you mentioned about the square footage, because you said it was a bit disingenuous. I think that's what you used that word for. The square footage of this house has been all over the place ever since I built it. When the county first listed it, they had a different square footage than I had on my plans. And I presumed that they were as-built plans. And then the county changed it a time or two. I have no idea why. The county's had this house listed as large as 10,025 square feet. And they've changed it at times. So what I did when I refinanced is I said, look, I really want to know how many square feet this house is. And I had them measure it. So I always go by 9220. However, the county has different values. And my realtor said, let's use what the county said. Number one, we can just say that's our source. And it's kind of up in the air. And people come and see a house and see how big it is. And so for that, I mean, I'm not trying to misrepresent or be disingenuous, but this has been helpful. And if anybody asks me, I'm telling them it's 9220 because I had it measured and I feel that's the most solid. But my point about that is, there was another point I had about that. Anyway, I've forgotten what it was, but I just wanted people to, I'm not being disingenuous.
That's something you need to resolve offline from us.
But I picked up on that. I was disingenuous too. I thought it was a little unnecessary because this wasn't necessary.
Well, then allow me to apologize for that remark. I certainly didn't mean to offend anybody, but maybe it was misleading in that basement square footage and above grade square footage were combined together to make it look like there was more above ground square footage than there was actually in those comparable sales.
Well, I can tell you, and when you were giving me the square footage on the comps, I was not able to pull those into my book and follow them. I'm not that fast either, Robin. I'm 73 and failing. But I can tell you that people do look at the total square footage, and they when you're trying to sell a home, and I say I have about a 6,000 square foot house plus about a 1,200 square foot storeroom unfinished and about a 2,000 square foot accessory dwelling unit. It is rentable. I've had to rent it. But what I'm finding out is of the narrow pool of buyers for the higher priced and larger homes, about 90% of those are not interested in an ADU. 10% are maybe interested and they're tire kickers, but when they really think about it, they say, no, we're not going to have dad come live with us. We're going to, I almost sold it to somebody who was one time, but they said, no, we're going to put him in the quarry here in Vancouver. So you've got to find somebody that really is in this narrow buyer pool and they want that ADU. And I thought it would be an asset when I turned out to sell it, when I came to sell it. It's definitely not. And I've been told that by every single realtor that's listed it. And when I look at other comps, there's other homes that I think justify the price I'm asking for of the comps I've submitted. And without being able to go through the detail, which I could with you, on the homes that you listed and the above ground square footage and all that. I just think the overall size of the house is what I was looking at. And you and I can delve that a little bit more in person if you want, but I couldn't follow it today. I have to be frank with you. Just was, but I'm not trying to. No, sir.
I've got enough information to make a decision.
Yeah, I think we have enough information, and you and Robin can get together and hash out the issues. So, all right.
Thank you.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
Thank you.
Oh, well, can I say one more thing? No?
Yes.
Okay. This issue started when somebody at the county took a multiplier that was on this house, and because they saw pictures of the house at a listing, decided that a room that would have been labeled living room, ballroom, would be labeled living room. And that's when they made that, they changed it, and then my values went off, and they've been off every year since. I never could get a real clear answer about that and why they did it, but it was some sort of a modifier multiplier. Robin probably knows more about that than I. But
Okay. All right.
Sorry. Thank you.
Okay.
You'll hear from us within 30 days. Thank you.
Okay. I'll wait to hear, and then I'll contact Robin.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 3rd, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for the properties before us. Before us, we will be reviewing petitions 560 through 566 for property IDs 986-06-4570, 986-06-4578, 986-06-4579, 986-06-4581, 986-06-4584, 986-06-4585, 986-06-4586. These properties are all owned by Camas View Condos, LLC, and are all connected. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Max here for the appellant. If you could please now raise your right hand to be sworn in.
It's raised.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. In just a moment, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain this, but I want to first say I would like to have a quick, brief discussion of what this circumstance is. It's not a condo in the sense of a main building, but it's something different. But I want you to explain what that is, and then go forward from there. Okay?
Great. That sounds good. You want me to go ahead now, or do you have anything else that you want me to cover just off the top?
Go ahead.
All right, great. Well, hello, everybody. My name is Matt Flamen. Again, apologies for not being on camera. I am traveling today for business, but wanted to thank you all for your time. Let me start off by just overall explaining what the property is and giving a bit of an overview on that. So a couple years ago, me and a couple other partners purchased this property, which was one property with multiple dwellings on it. Our investment group came in. We saw an opportunity, not just in Camas, but also with the property. And what we did is we divided them all into a condo association. So while it's not one building like you stereotypically would think of a condo association normally being, it's actually about 20 single family and multifamily buildings on one property that we divided into a condo association. Through the process of us purchasing the asset, we have gone ahead and we've put together a business plan to remodel all of the units on the property, really to bring them up to snuff for the neighborhood and the level of quality that the neighborhood has that it currently sits in. And we have been slowly but surely remodeling all of the units and selling them off one by one. And of course, as we sell them off, the buyers, right, they actually buy into the condo association. So right now we are still the majority owner of the condo association. But I think it's about, we sold about 40 or 30% of the properties. Did that answer your questions? Just kind of around the background of the property, or do you want me to go into a little bit more detail about anything?
That does it for me. That's fine with me. How about you, John and Jason?
Okay. Yeah, it sounds rather confusing, but I'm assuming you've got a bunch of older buildings there that you're remodeling some, sold some, but it's a condominium as far as there will be a neighborhood association. They own parts of it in parts of the...
Yeah.
You're not selling off the individual land sites, is that correct? You're selling buildings, or are you selling land with it?
Yeah. John, that's a great question. So your synopsis that you just gave was 100% correct. We are selling off properties, right? So actual buildings or housing units, I should say, that we have remodeled. And then there are just a couple of the parcels on the property that are just land. And they are developable, but we're not talking about those necessarily today. Today, we're just talking about the assessment made on the houses.
Okay, but his question was, are you selling the land the house is on, or are you just selling the building?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's correct. Yeah.
Yes, you
it's
are.
It's the land and the property. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And are we talking about all these as a group today? Because I noticed some of them have no comps or information, and some of them do. So are we doing each one individually then, or are we just talking about them as a group?
Yeah, Lisa, my plan today was to go over 19, and then, because it's kind of a bit of a unicorn, a bit unique, and then I was gonna go into unit 12, 13, 15, and 18, and that kind of covers the gamut of what we'll be discussing today. That's how I was going to bucket it.
So, for example, okay. So, for example, the first one is unit 4. So, is that one of the ones?
Unit 4 is not one of the ones that we're contesting. So, we're the ones that we're appealing are going to be unit 12, 13, 15, 18, and 20. Unit 4, I don't think we provided a case on Allison, isn't that correct? I didn't submit any additional evidence on...
We don't have additional evidence for Unit 4, which I think is what Lisa was referring to, but we did submit a petition for it. We can, now that we've opened the hearing, we can still review it, but if you don't want to talk about it and don't submit any evidence, we can always just keep that one at the same value, and you can use your time to focus on these other 12, 13, 15, 18, 19, and 20.
So if you're not going to
that would be great if that's okay.
If you're not going to talk about Unit 4, I'm going to set that one aside.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going through here to see which one of these units, which one is which. And you are talking about Unit 12, you said, correct? Okay.
Yeah, so.
And you are talking about Unit 13 and then Unit 15.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm not looking at something that. And Unit 18? Yeah. Okay. And Unit, but not 19. You're not talking about 19.
So I what I was saying is I'm going to talk about Unit 12, 13, 15, and 18 in one kind of, you know, explanation. And then I was going to talk about Unit 19 on its own just because it's a little bit unique.
Okay.
And it's a bit of a different appeal reasoning that we're appealing.
Okay. And
is that okay with you? Yeah.
I just want to make sure. And you're not going to talk about Unit 4 at all.
That's correct. Not Unit 4.
Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about Unit 12 first then?
Yeah. Do you mind if I share my screen? Is that allowed, Allison?
Yes.
Can I do that?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. Great. My screen. Okay. So I am just going to start off with Unit 12 here, and this is what I submitted, but it just kind of is going to help me. I think it will help all of us kind of stay clear on what I'm talking about if I display it as I'm talking. So. When I'm talking right now, just so the committee's aware, all of my points that I'm making are relevant for units 12, 13, 15, and 18. I'll just go ahead and jump into it. So talking about unit 12, right? One of the reasons, and this applies to a lot of our units, right, is when we bought it and relating back to, of course, 1/1/2024, right, when this assessment was made, you know, at that time, all of these units, they still had all of their original electrical plumbing, and all of those units were really borderline teardowns. They were not, and that's one of the things that we're contesting, because we do feel like they were based off this, also based off of the property comparisons, you know, not based off of complete teardown, right, and the work that we're actually doing. So the validation or the valuation, you know, are further depressed also by the zoning, which all of these units are in, which doesn't permit residential as like a standalone use. So what that means is, you know, we can only remodel the houses in their current footprint, and that puts a cap on like the value of the land and thus the overall valuation of the property because we have to stay within the footprint. Additionally, and again, we're still looking at unit 12, just some of the photos there. You know, when we're talking about comparables, I'll be transparent with the committee right now. I am not the real estate agent that necessarily put the comps together. I've reviewed them with him. But what I can tell you about all of them is, you know, the zoning is really the most consistent theme with why we're contesting the current valuations and why we feel they should be lowered. I cannot get into, again, like the absolute specifics around like every single comparable. But with that being said, you know, I do hope that we can look through like some of the photos and also some of the comparables just to kind of show other units that are similar that are going to be like complete teardowns or complete remodels in the state that they are. And please stop me by all means if anybody has questions as I'm sharing. But going back to, again, this unit 12 here, as you can see, the comparables, we've set it at a final valuation of $118,000. A lot of the comparables, which are very similar as total rebuilds, are going to be around $100,000, $99,000, $99,000. So we're kind of shooting in that ballpark. And as you can see from the photos, you know, this unit, it will be like a complete tear down to the studs. This is not something that, you know, it's just a fresh coat of paint, you know, and especially at that time when it was valued, you know, it was in even a worse condition. And so that's unit 12. I'll switch us over just for on my screen to unit 13, as you can see here. You know, it's the same story, right? Our valuations are based off of something that would be a total rebuild. And that's what we base it off of. Also the square footage, of course. And again, looking at these photos, right? The unit is inhabitable and would need to be brought down to the studs again, or the framework, I should say. And that's what we're doing with each of these units.
It's inhabitable.
And that's what our comparisons also.
It's inhabitable or uninhabitable? Uninhabitable.
Uninhabitable. Yes.
And how recent are these pictures?
These photos are from, gosh, like 2 months ago?
Okay.
3 months ago?
Okay.
Yeah. No, like, yeah. Just about 2 months ago.
Okay. Thank you.
And then, yeah, of course. And then another thing also to keep in mind, which is a common theme with all of these, which you don't feel was exactly included in the current appraisal, was the proximity to the highway. We knew this when we bought the property, but there's definitely considerable highway noise. And when we have showed potential buyers the property, one of their biggest complaints has been, wow, there's definitely some highway noise. And so that definitely has also been something that has been a difficulty for us as we've been going through and trying to sell the units. Here's unit 15 for the group. And again, same story as I said, just to show some photos. As you can see with this one, it literally now is brought down to the studs. This is after we came in, it was half done. And so we tore down the other half of it, as you can see here in these photos. And again, our plan is to remodel them, but at the time that this was valued, this is what, and currently right now, this is what they look like. Let me go over to 18. And again, same story as I've been saying. And you'll see these are, they're pretty uninhabitable. Uninhabitable.
Uninhabitable.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. So before I move on to 19, I want to ask the group, is there any questions on these four units that I've just presented to everybody?
I want to clarify the value you're asking for. Because I thought you mentioned one of them was $118,000, and this, your form says $180,000.
Right. They're different on all of them. Yeah.
Well, no, I understand that. But so let's go back to 12. You say your form says $180,000. Now, what are you asking for?
So we're asking for whatever is on the submission form. What we were just saying is that, you know, this is because we were trying to be fair, right? You know what I mean? We understand that, I don't know, often we're not really sure what, again, how we came to the valuation that was given to us. And so we're trying to find like a middle ground, but from our property comparables, this is what we found.
Okay, so are you asking for $180,000 even though your comparable property sales comes up with a value of 118. Are you still asking for 180?
I wasn't aware that I could change it, so we were sticking with 180. But if I mean I can bring it to 118, that would be great. Again, we submitted this before.
Okay, so you need to tell us.
I was able to connect with my
You need to tell us.
Okay, then I would like to go with the lower value, please.
Okay.
That would be great.
On all of them?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
I'll add
Thank
that
you
to
for
our...
clarifying. I appreciate that.
I'll add that to our records, Dan, as well. I can grab all those values for the spreadsheet.
Okay. Let's just go through them right now. Number 13, then, is what?
Okay, number 13 is going to be...
96,000.
What'd you say, Lisa?
96. Lisa, let him tell us, please.
So, number 13 would be 96,000. Number 15... Give me one sec, let me scroll to it. Bear with me, 94,164.
Said 167 on your form, but
what is it?
Can I ask a point of clarification to the group? Do you mind if I just pause really quick and ask a point of clarification?
Yes.
If I ask for the lower number, does the board, do you all have the ability to provide a number that you think is accurate, or is it my number or Buff?
Go ahead. Our obligation is to, number one, determine that the assessor's number is wrong.
Okay.
Number two, to evaluate your requested number. And number three is to come up with the value that we believe is the correct value.
I got it. Okay. So then I would like to submit. I'd like to continue submitting with the lower number then.
I have a point of clarification too. You said 94,164, but your form says 94,167.
Apologies, I just read it wrong. 94,167. Thank you for
not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm letting you do the talking, but I just thought I'd mention that.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
Number 18.
Yeah, number 18, so moving on, that's going to be at 95,933.
Okay. All right, now, you want to go on to which one now? 19?
19, and that should be quick, so it won't take us too long. Oh, I'm sorry, 19, where is it?
So did
you,
19, okay.
And then also, I'm sorry, I apologize, for number 20, that was our last one. I apologize, I didn't mention that. Number 20 was also one of the ones that we're contesting, that price is going to be 228,000 that we're requesting here.
You also can change the value on 19. Are you going to?
Yeah, I'm going to go to that. I didn't read off number 20 for you all, and so I just wanted to make sure that we were clear on that as well.
Okay.
Okay, and on to 19, here we go. Okay, so 19 is a bit different. 19 is a mixed-use building. It's a very, very interesting property. As you can see from some of the photos here, this is the back side of it. We would consider this, and the way that we're positioning it, is a work-live property. So the bottom half is completely undone commercial space. It is a shell. There is lighting, no plumbing. It is nothing pretty down there. Imagine a undone garage, a very, very, very large undone garage, and that's what's under it. On top of the unit, and this is kind of on the other side, this photo right here and this photo right here are the other perspective, the other side of the building. That's how you access the main dwelling or the main living space, the residential space. We are in the process of completely remodeling this. It's going to be an absolutely beautiful unit. But when the evaluation was assessed right on 1/1/2024, it was still in shambles. And you know, another thing that that should be called out. This building, there was a fire in it actually before we bought it, and so it was completely uninhabitable. So what we did is we went in, we had to redo the roof, we had to obviously fix all of the fire damage, smoke damage, and that is what we were in the process of doing and have done. With that being said, when at the time of valuation, right, it was not inhabitable whatsoever, and it was still a complete construction site. And so that's another reason why we kind of wanted to call this out. One other point on unit 19 is just the general age, and you know, having this unit be a part of a mixed use building makes it much more unique and a bit less desirable to your average buyer, right? And especially it being in a residential area, it makes it a really unique asset. We just wanted to make sure that it was valued at a price that we thought made sense.
Okay. The picture of the upper level is current day, it's already been remodeled?
Correct. Yes, this is current day. I couldn't find any photos of it when it was in disarray. I just added these because I didn't want to, these are also from our listing, right? I didn't want there to be any confusion. This is an older one. This is a much older one. But again, we'd already started about half the work. As you can see, it was tainted. You know, we're building the deck here, all that type of stuff. But these are, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but these photos are all about like the work being halfway done. I was just trying to show something just to prove that we did have it under construction and we were working on it. Okay. I just don't have a photo. I couldn't find a photo of it all burned down.
Okay. The lower level is completely gutted now.
Correct. Yeah, it's just a shell. Imagine an unfinished, a very large unfinished garage or warehouse space.
And it's still that way.
Correct. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
But keep in mind, so this is just, the assessment is just on unit 19, which is the residential dwelling above the that like kind of garage space.
Now, did you buy these properties independently?
You mean like, did we buy them individually or did we buy them all as one?
Did you buy them individually or all as one?
Yeah, we bought them all as one.
So the whole property. And then, so the number that you put on the form as saying the purchase price was $672,000 on June 29th of 2022. Is an allocation of the purchase price.
That's correct, yeah.
It's not a fixed amount that you paid for this particular property.
That's correct, it's an allocation.
And what did you pay for the whole package?
Oh gosh, that is a very good question. I actually cannot remember. It was like, one step, let me see what's in my notes. I think it was like 1.4. In total.
And did you allocate the entire purchase price to these buildings and everything?
Yeah. So there's 20 units plus like the commercial spaces, right? So what I'm contesting does not add up to the totality, right, of the purchase. It's just a part of it. But there's more, like we're not contesting every single unit on the property. We're just contesting a certain amount of them.
I understand that.
Yeah.
And the reason I ask is that when something is more recently purchased, I mean, granted it's over a year, it's a year and a half away from our valuation date, but when we look at a purchase price, that becomes a significant factor in how the property is valued.
Is it possible, I don't know if this is allowed, but if I can get back to the committee with the actual purchase price, I just don't want to misquote or give a false number, especially because, I'm testifying under oath, so I just don't want to mislead the committee at all. But I can definitely get back to you with that number. And again, I just want to make sure it's really clear, right?
No, your hearing has to be complete as of today.
Okay, then I'm going to have to, unfortunately, say I do not know what the exact purchase price was. I apologize for that.
If you appeal next year or in future years, you might want to have that available for us.
Yeah. No, that's good advice. Thank you. I mean, again, this is my first time going through something like this. So I thank you for bearing with me on that.
And not only the purchase price, but how it was allocated to the individual properties.
Yeah.
If it was.
Okay, go ahead. Anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. I appreciate you all listening and I appreciate your questions, and just please let me know if there's anything else that I can try to answer.
What are you asking for this property?
For 19?
Yes.
We are asking... one second, pull it up. We are asking for... $396,833.
Did you have a projected dollar amount you were going to invest in this whole property?
Yeah, we are investing about $1.5 million in the property.
In addition to the purchase price?
That's correct, yeah.
Do you have any estimate of the selling amount?
Or a unit, or
yeah, a few of the units that you've sold. I'm assuming they're all kind of comparable little houses.
Well, actually, I'm looking for in total. You must have done this under the assumption that you were going to make a profit.
Yeah. No, yes, we are 100%. Give me one set. Let me see if I can pull that up. Bear with me for just a moment. Oh, I apologize. I'm just on my phone. The Wi-Fi is not working for me. Give me one second. Yeah, I apologize. I do not have that in front of me.
Okay, that's fine.
I do apologize.
All right, and your valuation.
I am messaging a few of my business partners, but yeah, thank you.
This property was valued on the basis of that comparable property sales worksheet, and you're saying an outside realtor prepared those for you?
He's actually a part of our ownership group.
So it's someone
realtor for the project as well.
So it's someone that's part of your investor group that's also a realtor, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Can you give us or give me an idea of what you said you've sold some of them, just to give me a ballpark or whatever? I'm assuming.
Yeah, definitely. They're selling, you know, some of the smaller ones are selling for around like 300, 350. And I think the lowest end that they've gone is around like right around 300 or upper two, like upper gosh, like 290 something. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And how many have you sold? How many have you sold so far?
Yeah. So far we have sold five of them.
Five. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't have any other questions.
And you have you bought the property, the land, with each one of these, and you're now, were they all segregated in terms of land value when you bought them?
No, not when we bought them. So we had to go in and segregate it. That was a part of the condo conversion.
Okay. So you have now set up new property numbers for each one of these, or is this the new property number?
All of the property numbers that are on each of the cases are the new property numbers now that we've done the condo conversion.
So you've gone through and done boundary line adjustments and everything for property to go with each one of the units?
That's correct. Yeah. Well, keep in mind, they're already there, right? So with the units are already built, right? We're just remodeling them or redoing them from the studs. Right. That's one of and the contention points that we have just because of the zoning.
And you're selling them with the land, so each one of them is an individual owner now, but they still belong to this condo association.
Yeah, that's correct.
And that, assuming if you sell them all off, that condo association will be turned over to the property owners.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah.
Does it indicate on each one of them how big the property is? Yeah, it does. The lot size?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not to call these are very, they're very, they are tiny. Tiny. Yeah, they're on the smaller side, right? The homes. Yeah.
Yeah. And these are, I mean, obviously you've chopped them up into legal lot sizes.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, another thing that we did run into, and one of the reasons why we've had to do so much work on all the units is none of the work from the previous owner was done by permit. And so obviously we've had to go in and happily do everything by permit, by code. And we've also been working very closely with the city of Camas to make sure that we are up to snuff on all of that.
Right. And they were all previously separately metered for electricity and water and gas or whatever they have in there?
They were not. That is actually something that we have been working on doing is separating them.
So you're going to be, they're not all separated at this point? They're still combined at some point?
Every single one that's been sold off is separated, right? The ones that we're still working on have not been fully separated. That's kind of a part of the, you know, the remodel process.
And they all, when you're finished, they will all be separately metered and for all those utilities.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, each of the individual each of the individual buildings will be, yeah.
Okay. An unusual concept.
A very unusual concept. That is very true. That's what we look for. We We look for the fun ones.
Yeah, I have no further questions. John or Lisa?
No further questions.
No, I think I've got it, but no, I'm good at the moment.
Alrighty, well, I do appreciate everybody's time. Again, our group really does enjoy this property. We enjoy investing in Camas, and we're looking to continue to do so. So I just appreciate you all listening in and hearing us out. So thank you.
Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, that sounds good. Alrighty.
Thank you.
Am I good to go, Allison? Is that?
Yep, that's everything. Thank you so much, Max. Have a great day.
Alrighty. Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Close the hearing.